absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Welcome once again to a fine, I mean, it's crazy how well it is out there on a Mother's Day Sunday, May 11th in the year 2014. Great day on the East Coast. I am JT, as always, a.k.a. the Master. And like I say every Sunday, this is the Master Plan. We got a great show in store for you tonight. I mean, today, we're going to be talking about the NFL draft. We're going to try to get to as many teams as possible from A to W, from the Arizona Cardinals to the Washington Redskins. We're going to try to cover as many teams as we can in the 1 hour that we have for the show. So I can't guarantee we'll get to everyone, but I'm going to try to get to as many teams as possible. We're also going to be talking about, because I talk about it every Sunday, without a doubt I talk about it every Sunday, regardless of where I'm at. I promised you I was going to talk about it, whether I'm boasting because I'm winning or whether I'm very humble because I'm losing. And for the last 2 weeks, including this week, I am being humbled. The number to call in is 347-637-3220, 347-637-3220. And that, as well as the show, is sponsored by the Fantasy Sportsbook Casino, Fantasy Sportsbook and Casino.com hotline. And also the website is the sponsor of the show. We also have a chat room. If you'd like to put your comment, a question, whatever, in the chat room, remember, you know, I have no problem. You want to come hard, I'm going to answer you hard. Or you want to be intelligent, I'll try to give you an intelligent remark or comment or response back to you as I can humanly do. But whatever you put in the chat room is what you're going to get out of it. You don't put anything in it, there's nothing in there for me that you can get out of it. So we're going to cover fantasy baseball very shortly, very little, and then we're going to also, for the most part of the program, cover the NFL draft. New blood coming into the NFL trying to make their way. Who's going to be a bust? Who's going to be a surprise? And who is just going to meet expectations? Let me put it that way. As always, there's players that so-called experts, or even myself, and I'm not calling myself an expert, I'm just saying I just put them together as in having the same mindset, that have an opinion of players that got reached rather than where they would normally fall to. But overall, there's a lot of talent. A lot of DBs, record amount of DBs that got drafted, including the last pick, Mr. Irrelevant, that got drafted. Groundbreaking things that happen in the draft, as in one player and his sexual orientation actually getting drafted. I'll try to talk about that a little bit as we go further down into the teams. And headline catching players, one in particular, dropping down the draft board, sitting in the green room, waiting to get picked. A lot of things, trading up, trading down, teams moving around, doing things to try to better their team. I'm going to give some grades out, like I said. You know, I'm just – this is how we're going to roll. So I'm going to go through the fantasy baseball real quick, fast as I can, and then we'll be talking about, like I said, from A to W, Arizona to Washington. Hopefully we get to Washington within the hour. And I shouldn't keep on rambling. I should just get to business, right? Shut up with all this minutia that I'm speaking out and just talk about what you said you're going to talk about in the beginning. I understand. All right, my fantasy baseball team. Now, the name of the league is the Fantasy Sports and Politics Fantasy Baseball League. Okay? I came in, I think, seventh place last year, one spot out of the playoffs, and went down to the last 2 weeks, nearly not the last week, the week before last year. And I didn't make the playoffs. The season before that, I won the league. Well, I'm going from 1 to 6, and now in the 10-team league, I happen to be number 10. It's 20 positions that you can gain a point from. And depending on how many of those slots, 10 hitting and 10 pitching, quite naturally depends on how well you do for that week. Well, I got blown out last week, and it looks like it may happen again. Now, understand something here. I originally had a nice set of everyday players, and I still have a nice set of everyday players. But right now, Ryan Braun, which is one of them, is on the DL, dealing with what he's dealing with, an oblique. So he's sitting. So that hurts me on the offensive side. Just recently, in the last two days, including today, Andrew McCutchen. Yes, I have Andrew McCutchen also. He got hurt, so that hurts me in that. And not to say I have Matt Kemp, not to say that's anything big about, or Pablo Sandoval was to have. These two guys haven't done exactly what I'm expecting them to do. Joe Mauer, who happened to be one of my guys, he had a back issue. He had been sitting all week. And to say the least, my pitching I have Gio Gonzalez, Lance Lynn, and C.J. Wilson, and Willie Peralta, who's a pleasant surprise. But these guys Gio Gonzalez and Lance Lynn are hard throwers, one from the left, one from the right. But they've been inconsistent, and their team has been very inconsistent. And it's hurt me. It's hurt me a lot. So I've been struggling for the last 2 weeks. I've been struggling because of my bats, who would normally bring me some power numbers with other categories, have not been doing so. Last week, I don't think my bats hit a single home run, if I'm not mistaken. I'm looking back at week five. No, I'm mistaken. They produced four home runs, and only four home runs, which is in a whole week. You would think that at least I would be able to get at least in 7 days I should be able to get seven home runs. I didn't. This week, up until this point, I have three home runs, where my opponent has nine. So, along with, if I don't have any decent pitching, I mean hitting, because of my weakness in the pitching department, then I'm due to have what I had last week and what I have this week, meaning a 4 to 5 categories that I win. Believe it or not, five categories. Believe it or not, this week I'm on top in five categories in pitching. None of the categories in hitting, which I was very dependent on when I went into this draft earlier in the before the season started, are doing anything. My bats have been killing me for the last 2 weeks, and it's hard to change with the players I have, because these are guys that normally would produce but haven't over the last 2 weeks on a consistent basis, either been hurt or just haven't been producing at all. So I'm counting on Ryan Braun to come back sometime this week. Andrew McCutchen may have a issue with his ankle, so it's probably day to day. Joe Mauer already came back, and he got a hit, which is fine. So with Joe Mauer, Joey Votto, Alex Gordon, who hasn't been doing as well as I thought he was doing, I picked him up off of the waiver wire where somebody dropped, and Andrew McCutchen, Alex Rios, and Matt Kemp, with guys I think are pretty decent on my bench. I'm looking for these guys to pick it up pretty soon, because right now, in the league, before we go any further and wind up on Monday with new results from the prior week, I am 24 games behind my division leader, which happens to be Hakuna Tejada, who I played last week, and he absolutely destroyed me. And I think it was a combination of his team having a very good week and my team having an extremely bad week. And it happens like that. You can't do anything about it. You only can put the players in play, and hopefully they come through. If they don't come through, then you get what I got last week, a royal ass-whooping. Excuse my language. So, week 7 of a 22-week regular season is what we have here, and I'm playing Halifax Hurlers, who's in 5th place and probably will drop down because he's losing to the division winner, division leader right now, Hakuna Tejada. So, but I'll still probably be in 10th place because of the lack of categories that I've won, and I'm just looking to try to get into the playoffs at this point. I can't win the division. There's no way unless the teams ahead of me absolutely collapse. I'm looking to get into the playoffs. With that being said, let's move out of fantasy baseball and move into some 2014 NFL draft. And we go like this. I'll go like this. Nope, I won't do this. I'll do this. Okay. 2014 NFL Draft. I'm not going to go by round. I'm going to go by by team and the amount of picks that the teams had and how they used. Now, the first team on the docket would be the Arizona Cardinals, who had 6 picks and no picks past the 5th round. They pick in the 1st round. They moved all the way down to the 27th pick. They'd already down to the 27th pick. They picked Deion Buchanan, a safety from Washington State. They also picked in the 2nd round Troy Nicholas, a tight end from Notre Dame. They had 2 3rd-round picks where they picked up Kareem Martin and John Brown, the former a defensive end, and the John Brown, a wide receiver from Pittsburgh State, and Kareem Martin from North Carolina. Then this was a little surprising move, because there hadn't been a lot of quarterbacks taken up to this point, not a lot. But the quarterback they took was Logan Thomas in the 4th round from Virginia Tech, a definite project guy, a former tight end. And he's going to be sitting behind Carson Palmer with a, for lack of a better word, a quarterback guru in Bruce Arians, who can work his magic, just like a few other coaches in the league, that can get the best out of whatever quarterback they have. So this guy is going to be a project. He's going to be a sitting behind and learn and wait. He's got a gun of an arm. He's got a gun of an arm, and but he has huge accuracy issues, and I would expect that from a guy that is a converted tight end with not a lot of experience as being a quarterback, or because he's bounced back and forth, bounced from one position to another, and quarterback being one of them, and a tight end being another, that he hasn't had the amount of reps, and maybe even the right teacher or coach to show him how the best ways to maximize his talent. And then in the 5th round, the last pick that Arizona has in the draft was Ed Stinson, a defensive lineman from Alabama. So one thing is for sure, that with the 1st rounder they picked up, and with the second-year safety that they have right now in Tyrann Mathieu, and the 1st rounder to pick up in Deion Buchanan, these two guys are going to wreak havoc on wide receivers, because the way they play, and it's an NFC West type of football where the corners, where the safeties are very scary when wide receivers come through the middle or go downfield, because they're trying to, and like I've said before, a lot of teams are going to try to emulate the world champions, and having tall physical corners and hard-hitting ball-hawking safeties. So that's with Arizona, had a very decent defense, and now they have a hard-hitting missile safety in their first-round pick, Deion Buchanan. Torrey Nicholas is a big blocker and a receiver who will take he's going to take time to develop. Kareem Martin, who got picked, like I said, in the third round, is a huge guy, 6'6", 272 pounds, who could back up Khalil Campbell. Pittsburgh State receiver John Brown, like I said, will help take the top off enemy defenses. Like I said, Logan Thomas is a developmental prospect, and you never know. He may be another one of these quarterbacks who play multiple positions or can play multiple positions. In my opinion, the Cards and what they did is a B. So let's move on to the, and it looks like time is going to go real quick, but I'm going to try to get to as many of these teams as I can. Let's go to the Atlanta Falcons, who had 6 picks themselves. They picked up Najim Poole, meaning they picked up one of the Matthews, an offensive lineman, young Jake Matthews, offensive lineman for Texas A&M, and should be put in, should be put right in as Matt Ryan's blindside protector for the next 5-6 years. Then they came back around because they definitely need some help on the defensive line and picked up Rashid Hagerman as the potential to play over multiple gaps on a line that has changed in scheme. And also they added something from on the back end in Desmond Southward, a DB from Wisconsin, who can move around to a few different roles. And they also picked up something in the – so they went and used the picks on the offensive line, the defensive line, the linebacking core, and a backside of the defense also. And outside linebacker Prince Shembo is an interesting guy that may develop into a decent pass rusher. So I'm also going to give the Atlanta Falcons a grade of a B. And I do have a caller on here from the 903. I'll bring him in and see what he has to say. Caller from the 903, welcome to the Master Plan. State your name and your comment or statement or what you got to say.
My name is Zachary.
What's up, my man? Oh, he hung up. Okay. He got dropped for some reason. Maybe he'll call back. Anyway, let's move on as we are trying to get through these as quick as possible. And go to the Baltimore Ravens. Caller from the 903, if you care to call back, please call back, and we can put you on air, and you can give me a question, comment, or whatever it is. But we'll move on. We're going to do the Baltimore Ravens. It's Ozzie Newsome. Always steady as they go. And be able to evaluate and pick talent to help his team, had a plethora of picks. He had, let me count these down. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 picks. Out of 7 rounds, they had 9 picks. Okay? And the first pick that they pulled out of, from the University of Alabama, from the SEC, okay, would be C.J. Mosley, linebacker. Tough linebacker. I really like this pick. They're in need of a linebacker like this. That if he can stay healthy, and we do have this caller back. Let's see what we get this call back. Call from the 903. Welcome to the Master Plan. State your name and what's your question or comment.
My name is Zachary. I wanted only to say that you have a great show.
Oh, I appreciate it. I appreciate it. How long have you been listening to the show, Jeffrey?
My name is Zachary, by the way.
Excuse me?
My name is Zachary.
Jaffrey?
Yes, sir.
Okay. How long have you been listening to the show?
From today.
Oh, this is your first time listening to the show?
No.
Well, I mean, okay, he hung up again. Well, anyway, it's been a pleasure, Jeffrey. You listened to the show. I don't know how old you are. I meant to ask you if you happen to call back. I'm gonna finally get your age. We always welcome any age caller, and if you happen to call and listen to me. In fantasy football season, we can have a good time talking about fantasy football because that's my forte, and I love talking about fantasy football. Anyway, let's get back to the Baltimore Ravens. Baltimore Ravens, like I said, picked up C.J. Mosley, and I thought this was a fantastic pick for them. They needed a young youth into the linebacking core, possibly. I'm not saying he's Ray Lewis, but someone to take the spot of Ray Lewis. This could be the guy to do it from the University of Alabama. And if you know anything about Ozzie Newsome played in Alabama. He was, back in the day when Ozzie Newsome used to play football, college football, university he played for was Alabama. So I would think that he's got very good ties down there when he picks a player from Alabama. And C.J. Mosley was their first pick, and they expect big things from him. They also picked a defensive tackle, Tim Jerrigan, from the Florida State, the college champion. Football college champion, Florida State. He had a mid-round potential, but he fell to the 48th pick, which is pretty good value. I think that's a very good value. And he picked up safety Terrence Brooks in the third round, who could be an instant starter. They also landed another tight end. Like they don't have enough tight ends, but they added another tight end in Crockett Gilmore. And they picked up in the sixth round a quarterback, Keith Winning. Now, they also picked up Brent Urban, a defensive tackle from Virginia, Ursray Taliaferro, a running back from Marshall, John Urshel, guard from Penn State, and their last pick, which is in the seventh round, Michael Campanero, a wide receiver from Wake Forest. All in all, they had 9 picks. I give the grade on the Baltimore Ravens an A-. Some of these, you have to see if some of these are going to pan out, but on paper talent, in particular, they were and A-minus. Caller from the 903, welcome back to the Master Plan. What's your age, my man?
13.
Say it again?
13?
Okay. Do you play fantasy football?
Yeah, sometimes.
Sometimes? Okay. How'd you do last year in your fantasy football league? Did you play last year?
Yes.
How'd you do?
Well, we got tied two games, and we won, I think it's 4 or 5 games.
Okay. Do you plan on playing it again come September?
I think I'm going to play soccer this year.
You're going to play what?
Soccer.
You're going to play soccer? You're not going to play fantasy football?
No, not yet.
Not yet? Okay. Is there another question you want, or do you just want to listen to the program?
Can you put music on here?
Can I put music on here? Well, this is a talk show. I don't put music on here. I only do that in the beginning of the show when the show starts and when the show ends.
Oh, okay. No problem. Okay.
All right.
Okay, I'll keep hearing.
Okay, no problem. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, let's go to the Buffalo Bills. And Buffalo Bills had with all their moving around, they wound up with 6 picks. And quite naturally, if you were watching the draft, especially in the first round, you knew that the Buffalo Bills traded the 9th pick in two 2015 selections, the first pick of 2015 and the 4th round pick in 2015 to Cleveland so they could nab wide receiver Sammy Watkins. Now, I was on the air along with my crew on Thursday, and we were talking about before they actually, Buffalo Bills actually made this pick, that they were going, I had said they were going to take Sammy Watkins. I really believe that they jumped up in front of the Oakland Raiders, who was picking number 5, and wanted to grab Sammy Watkins. And lo and behold, that's what they did. They then traded Stevie Johnson away to San Francisco. That's after all they traded earlier for ex-Bucks wide receiver Mike Williams. So they got rid of Mike Williams, who they had last they got rid of Stevie Johnson. They picked up Mike Williams in the offseason, but they traded Stevie Johnson and during the draft or after they picked up Sammy Watkins. And they sent Philadelphia a draft choice for running back Bryce Brown. But for all that, their biggest risk came along an offensive line that needed some help. They picked up offensive tackle Cyrus Kwandiju, and Ciantro Henderson, and a guard Cyril Richardson. And I think all three of these guys, Kwandiju, in the second round, Cyril Richardson in the fifth round, and I think these are the roll of the dice, okay? They picked up also a linebacker in the third round. They picked up a linebacker in the third round, linebacker Preston Brown from Louisville, and then a cornerback, Ross Cockrell, I should say, who I thought were a little bit more safer picks, and he was from the university, Duke University. One thing for sure, the O-line would have been nice given how Buffalo sacrificed to make itself a contender in 2014. So I think they improved in the skill positions, took some chances on the offensive line, pretty much solidified themselves a little bit more with some safer picks in the third or fourth round with a linebacker and a cornerback. But the overall grade I'm giving them is a B. Let's move on to Carolina Panthers, who were in dire need, like everybody knows who watched pro football, that the Carolina Panthers had unloaded quite a few wide receivers. So they were in dire need of wide receivers. But let's take a break. Let's take a break, and I'll be right back after these words from after these words.
For a roundup of the week's events, interviews, and a whole lot more, tune in every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern for the FSP Cruise Show, featured at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. Here's a sample.
We have Mr. Stephen A. Smith. Hello, Stephen A. I'm glad to... This is Jerry, your host, along with my co-host Black and Jeff on here. Glad to...
What's up, fellas? How y'all doing?
What's going on, baby?
I'm good. Thanks for joining us.
Not a problem.
You can also visit fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com for archives, advertising, and other information. The FSP Crew Show. Information, motivation, variety. If you're into fantasy sports, you're going to love the Fantasy Sports Show with host Victor Gardner and co-hosts Jerry and Black every Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern, featured at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. This show is so hot, I can only play the intro.
Fantasy Sports and Policy.
You can also visit fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com for archives, advertising, and other information. The Fantasy Sports Show. Information, motivation, variety.
All right, we're back. All right, let's talk about the Carolina Panthers. I think they did pretty well. The general manager, Dave Gettleman, got some, I think, great value picks. You figured they were going to go heavy with wide receiver, but they only did one. Their first pick, Kelvin Benjamin, wide receiver who caught the winning touchdown for Florida State in the championship game this past season in college football. Then they go into the second round and pick up Coney Ealy, a defensive lineman from Missouri. Into the third round, they pick up Trey Turner, an offensive guard from LSU. They picked up another Trey. In the fourth round, Trey Boston, free safety from North Carolina. And they go and pick up a DB. In the fifth round, Benwakiri, cornerback from San Jose State. And ended off in the sixth round with Tyler Gaffney, a running back from Stanford. Ealy, in my opinion, was the 60th pick with a steal. If you believe... Ealy, in my opinion, like I said, was a steal. He had, on a lot of people's board, maybe not mine, a first-round grade. But they really got a good value in the third round when they picked up the guard, like I say, from LSU, Trey Turner, who's a absolute mauler who fits the type of things that the Panthers – power offense wants to do. Trey Boston is a nice size safety who will help in the defensive backfield. And they picked up another running back, Tyler Gaffney. Quite naturally, they still need receivers. Benjamin is not as polished as maybe a Sammy Watkins or a Mike Evans. But he's a big body, and especially a big red zone target. So they're going to need help because of the lack of wide receivers. So, you know, they're going to be running the ball quite a bit and leaving a lot of the burden to Cam Newton to win games. I'd have to give the Carolina Panthers, in my opinion, an A-. If you want to call in and comment on any of what I've just said up until this point, the number to call in is 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220 is the place to be if you want to talk to me. Let's move on to the big. Let's move on to the Windy City, and with the Chicago Bears, who had 9 picks, and their first pick off the top, especially with the type of division they play in, with. Besides them, they had the Minnesota Vikings, they have the Detroit Lions, and they also have the Green Bay Packers. Two of the three I named have very good quarterbacks with a very good passing game. So what would you think that the Chicago Bears would pick up first? That would be a DB, a cornerback from the great state of Virginia, Virginia Tech cornerback. Kyle Fuller was their first pick. They're expecting big things. Quite naturally, he's their first pick. They're expecting big things from Kyle Fuller, who probably had one of the cleanest tape of anyone in his class in that position. Then we go to the second round, we picked up a defensive tackle in Ego, and what a heck of a name, E-G-O, just like you hear it, just like it's spelled, Ego. I love it. Ego Ferguson. He's still learning the finer points of the game. Quite naturally, he's not a polished product. A lot of these guys are drafted quite naturally on potential, so I don't know why you hear comments like he's still learning the finer points of the game. Should be able to stick in multiple spots. Well, he's learning the finer points of the game. Well, all these guys, I don't care what position they are, even if quarterback, wide receiver, running back, anything on the offensive line, anything on the defensive line, linebackers, tight ends, whatever position, they're coming from college, they're still learning the finer points of the game because this is the highest of the high that you can get. So you don't know everything. Coming out of college, and quite naturally, there's a different level of talent that you play when you play in the pros. So you still learn. You learn every day. So when you say still learning the finer points, that doesn't compute for me. Anyway, Ego Ferguson, very good pick. I loved it. Like I said, I love the name. Defensive tackle, and then they grabbed in the third round another defensive tackle, Will Sutton, who I'm thinking is going to be in direct competition with Ego Ferguson. They come back and pick up a running back in a fourth round. Kadeem Carey from Arizona to back up Matt Forte. I think this is a very good pickup. Also, also in the fourth round they pick up Brock Vereen, a DB from the University of Minnesota, who's got a nice shot to be a slot corner. Which they definitely need a slot corner, and then they pick up, which is I wouldn't say strange to me, but a little odd that they pick up David Fales in the fourth round with all the quarterbacks that are of all the quarterbacks out there. I know they picked him up in the sixth round, so there was a lot of quarterbacks that were gone. But they picked up David Fales, who is a developmental quarterback. and someone, I guess, a new toy for Mark Trestman to develop. Let me put it this way, just in case because Josh McCown moved on. He went to Tampa Bay. So they needed someone to back him up. So this guy is going to sit and learn from Jay Cutler and under the tutelage of Mark Trestman how to play the position of the quarterback. And they rounded off with Pat O'Donnell, a punter from Miami. And then last but not least, Charles Leno, a offensive tackle or a guard, offensive lineman. All right, let's move on to the grade I give them is about an A-minus, okay? Now, I'd have to admit, I'm a little bit jealous because the fact is this next team took the quarterback I wanted to land on the Houston Texans. But there had to be a reason why this quarterback fell so far. So I'm not going to doubt Rick Smith and company from the Houston Texans, the GM of Houston Texans, and Bill O'Brien, the coach, on their selection. And I'll get to that in a few minutes. But the Cincinnati Bengals stole Darquez Dennard with the 24th pick, okay, who happens to be let me put it this way. He fell to him. He absolutely fell to him, and it would have been hard for Cincinnati to screw that up. Then they moved on to they kept that up, and in the second round, they picked up probably the most versatile and the big back with the most versatility, which meaning he can run the ball, run it well, and also catch the ball, Jeremy Hill from LSU, running back. That's likely mean that Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis is bye-bye. I would have to say that. Unless Jeremy Hill absolutely bust out, I see Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis being pushed down the totem pole. And they also picked up a defensive end, Will Clark, from the a defensive lineman from West Virginia. And then, excuse me, if that wasn't good enough, they traded up. And this is an odd thing because this is the third trade up in team history. The Cincinnati Bengals never trade up. Meaning when you trade up, that means you're giving up draft picks. You're giving up something. And Cincinnati Bengals are a very frugal team and don't give up too much to anyone, including their players. So this was the third trade-up in team history. Just think about that. In team history, they've only traded up three times, and this was the third time. And it was quite possibly people considered it an odd move. Even though they did it, and they got the center, an offensive lineman, Russell Bodine. And then in the fifth round, they pick up my quarterback that I really wanted on the Houston Texans. I think he's going to surprise a lot of people whenever he gets his opportunity. Right now they're saying he's the clone of Andy Dalton. I don't think that. I think he's better than that. But I'm talking about quarterback from the University of Alabama, two-time NCAA football champion from the Eastern University of Alabama with only three or four games he lost in his college career, A.J. McCarron. He went to the Cincinnati Bengals, which I think is probably a very good spot for him. I thought the other good spot was with the Houston Texans, but with that, they get an A-. Now let's go to the team that, one of the teams that got a lot of press and only had five picks at the end of the day, only had five picks. I'm talking about the Cleveland Browns. A lot, they were in the news for good and for bad. They had the first day of the draft, and it had been most exciting stretches in franchise history. What was a trade down and then two trades up, netting the Browns cornerback Justin Gilbert, who they picked up in the eighth pick in the first round from the Oklahoma State to pair with Joe Hayden and the defensive backfield. That's going to be a heck of a duo back there for opposing defenses and wide receivers to go against. Then they traded up to get the quarterback sensation media-wise, Johnny Manziel, with the 22nd pick in the first round also. They come back with the third pick in the second round and pick up a very versatile offensive lineman in Joel Bitonio. And also in the third round, they pick up Christian Kersey, linebacker from University of Iowa. And he rounded off in the third round, Terrence West, a running back from Townsend. And I'm thinking Terrence, with the 127th pick overall, is a sleeper. And then he pick up cornerback Pierre Desir was Cleveland's final pick. And this guy is I think they did extremely well. I think, in my opinion, this is a A-plus. Cleveland really showed out this week. Really showed out this week. I really like what Cleveland did. I really like it. Let's move on to the Dallas Cowboys. Looks like we got about 7 minutes left in the show. Hopefully I can get to at least four more teams before we get out of here. For the second straight season, the Cowboys went offensive line in their first round. But they went and picked a guy up, not like as in so-called experts thought they reached when they picked up Travis Frederick last year, who supposedly on a lot of draft boards was a third round pick, who they picked in the first round. They picked up Zach Martin, who wasn't a reach. He's from Notre Dame, from there they went to they decided to go to defense. In the second round they picked up DeMarcus Lawrence. Fourth round they picked up Anthony Hitchens, a linebacker from Iowa. They went to and in the fifth round picked up Devin Street, a wide receiver. And then the next three picks, all in the seventh round, were on the defensive side of the ball. Ben Gardner, a defensive end from Stanford. Will Smith, a linebacker from Texas Tech. And Ahmad Dixon, a safety from Baylor. Overall, I think the grade here was a B-minus from Dallas. Let's go to Denver. Denver checked off several needs. Cornerback Bradley Roby, wide receiver Cody Latimer, linebacker Lehman Barrow. The first two there dipped a slight bit on the board, so the Broncos claim them as values. They need third-round pick Michael Schofield to pan out, who happens to be an offensive lineman. And they probably use him as a guard, where the Broncos need him the most. So I think they overall had a decent draft. I give a B to the Denver Broncos. Let's move on to the next team, which would be the Detroit Lions. And Detroit Lions have a history. In the past, the Lions have not been afraid to reach up to get players they want. And general manager Martin Mayhew was bold with his acquisitions of North Carolina tight end Eric Ebron. That really surprised me. I didn't think they – I mean, he probably was the top available on their draft board. But a tight end, you know, when they're in dire need of defensive help, especially on the back end, he's a talented pass catcher. But I thought he was about a mid-round talent, but went 10th overall. In the second round, they picked up an offensive linebacker, Kyle Van Noy, which I think was a pretty good pick at the time. He can rush the passer and jump into coverage very well, and hopefully he'll find a starting spot. Third round, they picked up Travis Swanson. Fourth round, Nevin Lawson. Sixth round, they picked up another wide receiver, T.J. Jones from Notre Dame, and ended it off with a kicker. In the seventh round, Nate Freeze from Boston College. So, they also picked up a defensive tackle, Karun Reed, who could be a three-technique interior penetrator. I have to give him a grade of a B. Two more we're going to get to. Green Bay Packers and my Houston Texans. And next one would be the Green Bay Packers, who in the first pick they pick up, and this guy's got a heck of a name, in Ha-Ha Clinton Dix. I love that name. I don't know where that name came from, but they picked him up. He's a safety from the University of Alabama. He can cover deep, and he's a great hitter from linebacker depth up. Now, he's listed as a free safety. But we'll have to wait and see how they use him. Probably use him as a free safety, but he's a definite hitter. They picked up three wide receivers, Fresno State's Devontae Adams, Jared Ambideras from Wisconsin, and Saginaw Valley State's Jeff Janis in the seventh round, which quite naturally should make Aaron Rodgers happy. And they also picked up a tight end from Cal, University of California, Richard Rodgers, who's probably a JerMichael Finley replacement and who can flare wide and make plays. And also picked up Southern Miss defensive tackle, Kyree Thornton from Southern Miss. So they helped themselves in all their needs that they addressed. I give them an A. Houston Texans had 10 selections, so most of the focus will fall on what the Houston did at number one overall. They picked my man, Jadeveon Clowney. And what it did not do from there on out, land a number one starter at quarterback. Tom Savage had the Texas eye all along, so they have to be happy they got him at 135th, which happens to be in the fourth round, with the 35th pick in the fourth round. Clowney was a no-brainer. But the real stars of the work done here came in guard Xavier Suafolo, which they got him in the second round, and in the trade-up for defensive tackle Lewis Nix in the third round. Houston's a much better team than it was headed into Thursday, but it will matter without a surefire quarterback. And the jury is out on Tom Savage because he's moved around to different teams, Rutgers, Arizona, if I'm not mistaken, and Pitt. Excuse me. And he has best career numbers at Pitt. So we'll have to wait and see if Tom Savage and Bill O'Brien, who happens to be a so-called quarterback guru, can bring the best out of Tom Savage on a week-to-week basis, or do we roll with Ryan Fitzpatrick as the starting quarterback? Only time will tell. Well, people, it's that time again. It's time to get out of here and enjoy the day we call Mother's Day. I want to thank my one caller for calling in multiple times because you must have really liked the show. Thank you for listening. I'll be back next week talking about the week in sports and also about my fantasy baseball team. Regardless, good or bad, I'm only talking about it. For those mothers out there, or for those men, young men who are listening to this show, wish your mothers a happy Mother's Day. Wish your wife a happy Mother's Day. Wish your grandmother a happy Mother's Day. Or that special person in your life that's a mother, wish them a happy Mother's Day. Enjoy the rest of the day wherever you are in the country. And for that, I'll end the show as I started it. This is Jerry from the Master Plan, and we're out.